Well, thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you for those who have come out live and in person and those that are watching us. And we're going to open our time together with a word of prayer. So if you bow with me. Father in heaven, we are so grateful for your love for us. And Father, truly, we don't deserve your love, your care. But Father, you do it despite us. And Father, we thank you for that unconditional love. Thank you that you never will leave us or forsake us. And Father, we just ask for your presence in a special way tonight, that you'd help us be encouraged our first Wednesday night back and having people here, and that just the time that we can see each other, the time we sing and spend in your word would just have an impact on our lives tonight, Lord. And we just ask you to bless our ministry here, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see everybody. And we have just a couple of announcements. I want to remind you that, yes, we are having services that you can come to. Now, on Sundays, we will be having our children's Sunday school program will still just be on the Internet, on our live stream. And you can get there through our website. That'll be at 9 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, we'll have an adult Sunday school class right here. We encourage you to come. You can come and sit in Sunday school if you like, but it'll be live stream. And the same thing with our Sunday services at 11 and 6. They will be live stream, but it will be right here. And we had a nice crowd last Sunday morning, our first Sunday back. And we're just looking forward to that, to keep increasing as things kind of settle down a little bit more. And we're just very excited about that. And then on Wednesday nights, we again will be live stream on Wednesdays at 7, but also you can be here live. And we have people here tonight, and we're very grateful for them coming out in the rain. Also, though, coming up on Wednesday, on the 24th of June, we're starting the Bible Institute. And so we will be meeting at different places. I think there's four different classes. And we sent that out on an email, but maybe you missed it. If you're here, or you come on Sunday in the back, we have it taped up on the back wall, some papers with the different classes. And you need to, if you see a class you want, and you know you want to come to that, you need to contact the church office. You can do it through email or just call on the phone and talk to our secretary, Mrs. Jessica Vidal. She's right there. And she will take your name and put you in the class. She's very important. And if the class is full, maybe she can pull strings for you. I don't know. But you need to sign up as quickly as you can. Make sure you can get into the class you'd like. That'll be on the Wednesdays through June through July. And also that'll be there will be Children's Church for that. So just so you note that. I think in Children's Church we're going to be teaching through the book of Daniel, basically about Daniel, and so we're looking forward to that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. What we're going to do tonight is we're going to go ahead and do our Bible study first, and then we're going to take any prayer requests at the end. And so, just so you know that. So, if you have your Bible, I know I'm forgetting something. Pray for Pastor Peterson. He's out and taking a few days vacation this week. Mr. Nichols is also taking vacation. Pastor Nichols, and then Pastor Self is gone for a few days too. And so I'm here. Pastor Bloom is here. And so if y'all have any needs or anything, please let us know. Anyway, Proverbs chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at our title of our message, if you like to title your notes, is The Danger of Passing On. Now, you hear that title, you think, passing on, that's dying. And that's not what we're talking about tonight. That is dangerous to pass on. That could be bad. But there's an interesting verse, Proverbs 22, in verse 3. Proverbs, of course, about right in the middle of your Bible. And so, right after the book of Psalms, in chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." Now that verse, word for word, is repeated in chapter 27, verse 12. Now, I believe it was repeated not as an accident or just something the Bible translators did or anything like that. I think Solomon and the other people maybe had a part in this book under the inspiration of God recorded this verse twice because it's an important verse for us to get a hold of. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I guess you could call this a warning verse. Like danger. Stop. Watch out. Be like driving down the road and you see a sign. Bridge is out. You know, that would be watch out, because if you keep going, you're going to go over the edge. All right? And so you could call it a warning verse. You could even say it's a good idea verse. You know, I think it'd be a good idea if you, and whatever it might be. You know, I think it'd be a good idea not to run across Highway 41 without looking both ways. That'd be a good idea. You could say it's a good advice verse. You ever heard somebody say, let me give you a piece of advice? Usually you're doing that. If you're doing it sincerely, you're trying to what? You're trying to help or warn somebody. Maybe something you experienced in the past that it's not a good thing. So let me give you a piece of advice. You say advice because you're not saying, hey, you're making a mistake. You're trying to kind of be nice about it. But, hey, you ought to listen. And I think this verse is like that. It's not a command, but it's a truth to learn. It's not a command. You can say it's a warning. It's not a command, but it's a good idea. It would be wise to learn what this verse is saying. Why would it be wise? Well, look at the end of the verse. It says, if you pass on, you are going to be punished. Punished. Punished, where the word means to inflict a penalty or to punish. So it'd be like saying, if you got spankings when you grow up, you know, if you do this, you're going to get a spanking. So a prudent person would say, I'm not going to do it because I don't want to be punished. How many like getting punished growing up? I not too many of us like any kind of punishment, whether it was spanking or sitting in the corner or going to bed without eating supper. That would be bad for me. I'd surely behave if I couldn't eat something. But going to jail. Hope nobody, maybe you've been to jail in here, I don't know. But nobody wants to go to jail. Nobody wants to fly off a bridge if it's washed out and go plunging down into the rocks or the water. You wouldn't like that. And so this verse is saying, hey, you ought to be a prudent person, because if you're simple and you pass on when there's evil involved, there's going to be a consequence. Really, these verses talks about two kinds of people. It talks a verse about a prudent man. A prudent man. Prudent means prudent or wise. Yeah, the word prudent literally means this: acting with care and thought for the future. In other words, you're looking to the future. If I make this decision, if I do this, this is what's going to happen in the future. You're being prudent. If you're driving down the road and you see the sign that says bridge is out, and you say, well, the prudent thing to do would be to stop and go a different direction, because if I continue on, I'm going to run out of road and it's going to have a major consequence. That's being prudent. The other man, it says there, is the simple man. The word simple there just means simple or foolish. This would be like a person who maybe doesn't pay attention. He understands the warning but doesn't believe it's important. Maybe he understands it and ignores it, says it's not for me. So he's simple. There's a situation here. A prudent man looks at the situation and says, just if I continue in this direction, this is what's going to happen. The simple man goes, don't bother me. Or ignores it or looks the other way. And what they're being prudent or simple about is evil. Things that are wrong. And a prudent man foresees the evil, and the simple man just simply doesn't pay attention or thinks it's not important or thinks it's for someone else, not for me. What the prudent man does, and the next thing it says he does, he hideth himself. He hideth himself. It basically has the idea of hide by covering, to conceal, to be absent. In other words, I'm not going to give evil a chance in my life. I'm going to kind of conceal myself or hide myself from that. It's not the same idea as when you were a kid and you got scared and you pulled the covers over your head. And that'll make it go away. I'm going to hide from whatever's trying to get me. The idea is this: I'm prudent. I'm going to foresee what this direction is going to take me, and I'm going to conceal myself from it. I'm going to hide myself from it. But the simple man, it says he just pass on. That's the idea of our sermon: the danger of passing on. He just keeps going in the same direction. He keeps on with what's going on in his life, doing his life his way. And so we have two people here, the prudent man and the simple man. The prudent man, you know, sees what's going to be happening and he avoids it. He hides himself. The simple man really gives it no regard and passes on. Now, what is the result? Well, the result is simple. The prudent man has no punishment, no penalty. And basically what, you know, sin and wrong can do in our lives. Now, it doesn't say there's not a price. You know, the Bible talks about serving the Lord and doing what's right. A lot of times we have to count the cost. For example, what I mean is, like, if you were a man and you see you have some people that have been your friends and they're not doing things that are right. And so as a prudent person, I can't run with that crowd. I can't hang out with those guys because it's going to lead to no good. It's going to lead to me making wrong choices in my life. So I'm going to hide myself from that. And the consequences of doing that, you don't have to face, but you could pay a price. What would the price be? Well, you might lose their friendship. And that would be a price. But I'd rather pay a price like that than to be, as the verse says, be punished. And sin will destroy us. Now, that's the result for the prudent man. The simple man, he suffers what? Punishment, penalty. And the idea is just judgment here. The Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's always a price to pay. Sin always has a price to pay. And so the prudent man, he sees that. He looks and says, well, if I make that choice, if I say this or if I do this, it's wrong and it's sin and it's going to have a price. So even though if it costs me something, I'm going to hide myself from that. I'm going to avoid that. The simple man just passes on and he suffers punishment. He suffers judgment. So what makes the difference between these two guys? Well, it's the word foreseeth. If you notice in the verses, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. Foreseeth means to look or discern. And so the difference is he says, hey, I'm being discerning and I realize what going in that direction will do to me. And I don't want that to happen to me. And so I'm going to avoid that. The simple man does not look or discern. And we're going to talk a little bit about this in just a moment. He just says, well, again, that's some for somebody else or it's not important. And he suffers the consequence of it. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hide himself. The simple pass on and are punished. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Peter 5:8 that we should look out for our adversary, the devil, who walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 talks about don't be ignorant of his devices. So we need to be alert in our lives because sin will result in judgment, in punishment. And if we're prudent, we'll avoid that. So we can avoid what? The punishment, the cost of making that decision. Now, what we want to share, we got four W's to share with you tonight. Four things not to pass by. And I hope these will be a help for you. It's a very simple verse, a very simple concept, but it needs to be practiced. We need to be prudent in our Christian lives, and we need to foresee things. So, four things not to pass by. Here's the first one. Number one, the warnings of the Bible. the warnings of the Bible. You know, the Bible is God's instruction manual on how to live. And it tells us things that we should not do. It tells us things that we should do. And it gives us many principles to help us make the right decisions. But the warnings in the Bible are there to help us, not to harm us. A lot of times, you know, when you say, hey, you know, sin, it's gonna impact your life. And people are, oh, you just don't want me to have any fun. Well, God doesn't warn us about sin and the things it'll do because He wants to hurt us. God's desire is the best for our life. He wants to help us. And so the warnings are there to help us avoid God's judgment, to help us avoid the natural consequences of sin. And it's there to help us avoid the punishment and penalty of making the wrong choices. Now, a prudent man sees that. And in a sense, he pays attention to what the Bible says, and he obeys. And in a sense, there's no punishment, there's no penalty. There's no harm that sin will do in his life. He reads the Word. He studies the Word. He comes to church and pays attention. And that's a great thing. The simple man, though, as far as the Word of God is concerned, he ignores it. He really doesn't pay attention to what the Bible is saying and trying to help him with. And the result is punishment. The simple pass on and are punished. He doesn't read the Bible. He doesn't study the Bible. Maybe he even comes to church, but he really doesn't pay attention at church. And he in a sense, passes on. Look, simply stated is this. To avoid punishment or pain, heed the warnings of the Bible. If you have a hold your place in Proverbs, if you want to, but Psalms 119. So, to avoid the pain that sin will cause, and the problems that sin cause, we need to be prudent, and see what the Bible says will happen when we sin. That is never a good ending, and we're not going to talk about specific things tonight, but it's very easy to apply this. So again, simply stated, to avoid punishment, you need to heed the warnings of the Bible. Look at verse 114. He says, "Thou art my hiding place and my shield." Protection. God offers protection. How does He offer that? I hope in Thy Word. So we can find protection in God's Word. The prudent man says, hey, look, if I'll do what the Bible says, it's going to be a lot better for me. The simple man, what he needs to go, hey, I'm not going to do what the Bible says, and it's going to hurt me. But he doesn't. He just passes on. He doesn't give it any heed. And the Bible is a shield. It's a hiding place for us. And if we're prudent, we are going to heed the warnings of the Bible. Proverbs 4, verse 26 says we are to ponder the path of our feet. The idea of pondering the path is, where am I heading? Where are my feet taking me? What does the Bible say about where my feet, where I'm going? What is there when I get there? That's the idea of pondering the path of your feet. And of course, look at a very famous verse, Psalms 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It helps us see where our feet are going, what direction we're going in. And if we'll take heed to the Bible, the warnings of the Bible, which are there to help us, we don't have to be, in a sense, punished or suffer the pain that evil will do to us, but we can keep going in the right direction. You know, a lot of people don't know what direction they're going in. The Bible will help you with direction in your life if we'll take heed to it. Let me ask a question. How many like it much better when you make a good decision? Sometimes you see, I'm not making good decisions. Well, the Bible can help you make better decisions. And a prudent man realized, hey, if I want to make the decisions that are good, that please God, and if I do what God says in His Word, I know he that'll help me, and God will bless and direct me. That's a good decision. So we need to pay attention to God's word. We need to heed the warnings of the Bible. A prudent man heeds the warnings of the Bible, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, where's your path leading? You know what direction you're going in. The Bible will help you with that. So one of the things that we need to do, the first W, is the warnings of the Bible. Secondly, here's the second thing we need to give heed to, is the wooing of the Holy Spirit. The wooing of the Holy Spirit. If you have your Bibles, John chapter 16. John in your New Testament. John chapter 16. The wooing of the Holy Spirit. You realize that if you hear and you know Christ, and I see all of you here, you have testimony, you've trusted Christ. Well, you know, the moment you trusted Christ, the Holy Spirit took up a permanent residence inside you. And the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is Christ. And I just want to just point out one thing about the Holy Spirit. There's many things you could say about it. But John 16, look at verse 13. It's Christ here talking about the fact that at that time the Holy Spirit didn't permanently indwell people, but he was coming to do that. And it would happen at Pentecost. But it says in verse 13, "Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come." So what kind of spirit is the Holy Spirit? He is truth. And that's obvious because God is truth. Holy Spirit is God. So it's truth. "He will guide you into all truth. Of course, for he will not speak of himself, but whatever he shall heal, that shall he speak." And of course, the Spirit's job is to glorify Christ. But he is the Spirit of truth. So if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, whatever he's trying to encourage you to do or convict you that you should be doing is not something that's some kind of falsehood. It is truth. Isn't it hard to find something you can be confident in is true? You just watch TV a while and you'll have one person say one thing and another person say another thing, and people will twist things. And what is truth? Well, I can tell you that the Word of God is truth and the Holy Spirit is truth. How do you respond to the Spirit's convicting you? As you read the Bible and God begins to speak to your heart about something that you should do, a prudent man says, you know, God's directing me through His Spirit. And, you know, you're not a Christian robot. You can resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And so as you read His Word and He convicts you, He's wooing you, encouraging you to take that truth and apply it to your life. What do you do? Maybe you're at a church service and something's spoken on in the church service. It might not even be the topic that the preacher's preaching about, but God, you see a portion of Scripture and the Holy Spirit grips your heart. A prudent man yields to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's at a revival meeting. Maybe you're somewhere and there's a temptation to do wrong, and a scripture, it comes to your mind, a scripture maybe you've memorized, and you know that the Holy Spirit has brought that to your mind. What do we do with that? A prudent man yields to what the Spirit is moving in his life. You know, it's been said, let your conscience be your guide. You ever heard that before? Let your conscience be your guide. Well, of course, we know Jeremiah 17:9. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So just a conscience in and of itself is not wise. But you know, your conscience is based on what it knows. And so that's why you go back to point number one. You need to study the Bible. See what the Bible says. And when you understand what the Bible says, then your conscience, you know, the Holy Spirit can work for your conscience to go, hey, I shouldn't do that. Or this is what I should do. And your conscience always works on what it knows. I mean, a lot of people who are not saved at all, their parents told them, hey, this is something you shouldn't do. Don't do this. Don't do this. It's wrong. Don't do that. And you hear that, then that gets in your mind as, hey, I shouldn't do that. Because it's based on what you know. So we ought to make time for the Bible. If you won't make time for the Bible, you will make time to be punished. And that's very true. We need to yield to the warnings of the Bible, but we also need to yield to the wooing of the Holy Spirit. To avoid punishment, yield to the Holy Spirit's wooing. If you resist the Spirit's wooing, the more you do that, the more hardened you'll become to His leading. And you're headed for problems. A prudent man yields to the Spirit's wooing, the drawing, the convicting of the Holy Spirit. A simple man resists the Spirit of God. And again, it's the Spirit of truth. So as God's moving your heart, He's trying to move you in the right direction. And a prudent man says, hey, I need to do this. God's convicting my heart through the Holy Spirit to do this based on His Word. And I know if I do what God wants, that's the best place in life for me to be. So I'm going to keep heading in that direction. That's the prudent thing. But a simple man says, well, I don't have time for that right now. That's not that important. I wish somebody else would hear that or whatever it might be. All right, but let's move on. Here's the third W tonight. The third thing that we should watch out about passing by or passing on is the watching of God's people. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, a prudent man heeds the warnings of his pastor. A prudent man, a prudent young person, would heed the warnings of his parents and listen to what they're telling him. A prudent man listens to what the authority tells him to do. But a simple man rebels. A simple man pays no attention to it. Let's just look at we're going to mention four things here, but look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 in your New Testament. In the New Testament. All your H's are together in your New Testament, so you can find Hebrews there. See there, Hebrews 13. Again, a familiar verse. Hebrews 13 in verse 17, it says this: obey them that have the rule over you. In this context, talking about the pastor, the spiritual leadership of the church. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So, the spiritual authority in your life, whether it's your pastor or maybe a Sunday school teacher or someone else like that, we ought to submit to that. Now, how many understand that there's pastors that are not good guys? Pastors and they're bad. So what's the key in the New Testament? Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so as they follow Christ and they teach you and encourage you, you need to submit to their authority. Submit to their authority. And that's very important. The prudent man says, hey, God's put this person in my life to help me and to encourage me, and I'm going to submit to their authority as the pastor. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. So the watching of God's people. You know, that's why it's exciting to be coming back together, because we see other Christians that can be a help and an encouragement to us. Ephesians chapter 6. And verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. For young people, we harp on this all the time. You need to obey your parents. You need to submit to their authority. Now, a prudent young person, that's what they ought to do. You say, well, why ought they ought to do it? Remember, when you rebel against that as a young person, and you just pass on, you're going to be punishment. Well, what's the punish? Well, look in verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, we could spend a long time talking about this issue of obeying a parent's. But a prudent young person would go, hey, if I want it to be well, if I want God's blessing, I need to submit to my parents' authority. And that is so important. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right, it says. It is right. You ought to do it just because it's right. But if you will, if you just ignore that, say, I want to do what I want to do, it's not, things are not going to be well with thee. Now, it says, may you not live long on the earth. That don't mean your parents are going to kill you. But the natural consequence of this, if you obey your parents, you'll live longer. Your parents tell you to stop when you tell stop, and you're a little kid and you're playing by the street, and the ball bounces in the street, and you start to run the street, and your parents tell you stop, and you don't listen to them and run out in the street, and a car hits you. You didn't live long because you didn't obey your parents. But that's not a promise of time of life. But a prudent young person says, hey, if I want God's blessing and I want things to be well with me, I need to obey my parents. And so they said, hey, I don't know what all the other young people are doing or what they say about their mom and dad, but I'm going to honor my parents and I'm going to obey them. And that is prudent thing to do. It's wise. You can go on down and look at your boss. Your boss at work, it says in verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. So, if you're employed somewhere and there's someone who's an authority over you, unless they're telling you to do something that's contrary to Scripture or illegal, you need to obey. They're in authority. And a prudent man will do that. A simple man says, I don't like my boss. I don't like how he runs the business. Well, if you need to obey him. You need to submit to his authority. I just wanted to say one more thing, too, in this whole area about submitting to authority. Our police are very much under attack in many parts of our country, literally. And I really has nothing to do with race or ethnic background or national origin. But a lot of people end up having trouble with the police because they do not submit to the authority. They want to fight the police. They want to run from the police, and someone gets hurt. You know how somebody, you could lessen all the hurt that happens is to submit to the authority. If they tell you to stop, you stop. If they tell you to put your hands here, you put your hands there and cooperate. And if they would submit to the authority, then there'd be a lot less pain. But you ought to pray for those and our police force, forces across our country. It's not an easy occupation to be in, but it's an important one. By the way, that's God's ordained government to be a help to people. Part of that is having people like the police. Well, anyway, so prudent man heeds the warnings of, and he says, I need to submit to the authority God's placed in my life. A simple man says, well, I want to do what I want. And the prudent man, it goes a lot better for him. But the simple man, he passes on and is punished. We're going to look at one more. Number four, a fourth W, and that is the witness of Christ. The witness of Christ. The prudent man considers the witness of Christ. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, the idea is it matters that Christ is with us and in us and that we belong to him. A prudent man cares about what Christ thinks, about what I'm going to do. A prudent man says, you know, would the Lord be pleased with Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for me, who died in my place, took my punishment upon himself, what would Christ think about this decision, this choice I'm going to make? Our heart's attitude is, I don't want to disappoint Christ. But the simple man doesn't really consider that. The simple man many times just kind of wants to do what he wants to do. And the prudent man cares about what Christ thinks. The simple man doesn't give it a thought or doesn't care. The prudent man thinks that this choice may well reflect upon my Savior. And he looks forward to see what that's laid out for him to do, the choice to make. He foresees the evil. How does this affect my testimony in Christ's name? He looks at that. A lot of times when the choice, there's some evil, some temptation for us, in the short term, it seems very pleasurable. It seems like a lot of people do it. But we need to look for how does this impact the future? If I do this tonight, what does Christ think about it in the moment? And tomorrow, how does this affect my testimony for Him? What does this look like to Christ? I claim to be a Christian and I did this. And it's a terrible testimony for the Lord. A prudent man foresees those things and makes the proper choices. He hides himself from the evil, but the simple pass on and are punished. Look over 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Sometimes we need to remember when we think about Christ and Christ lives within us. Christ has done so much for us. And the least we could do to live, a prudent man says, I care about what Christ thinks. I care about my testimony. I care about the name of the Lord. Is it being honored? Is this what I do going to bring honor to Christ? And a prudent man says, hey, I'm going to hide myself. I'm going to avoid that choice. I'm going to avoid that direction. And so I can please Christ. Something we ought to remember is that we do belong to Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Look down in verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So we belong to Him. Our body belongs to Him as believers. We don't. Our body doesn't belong to Christ. So many times when we're faced with things that would really actually harm our body. And we often use this as a principle. Smoking. Does smoking send you to hell? No, smoking doesn't send you to hell. It might make you smell like you've been there, but it doesn't send you there. And yet, the principle is, if you're a Christian and smoking harms your body, you're doing harm to something that doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to the Lord. And you can apply that to so many things. I just brought up smoking, drinking, drugs, anything like that. We belong to Christ. We're His. It would be like me if I went over and I wanted to play golf. I didn't like my golf clubs, but I knew that Terry back there had a set of clubs that were really good that I really liked. And so I knew he was out of town, so I broke into his house and borrowed his golf clubs. And I was going to bring them back, but I just went and used them. Would that be appropriate? Now, maybe Terry might be very happy to loan them to me, right? So, Terry, can I borrow your golf clubs? And, hell, sure, you can borrow them. I'm not doing anything with them, and you can use them. And that would be different, but it would be inappropriate. It would be like, I got Lou sitting here, Lou and Kathy, and I said, hey, I don't like the color of Lou and Kathy's house. I don't like the color it's painted. I'm going to go paint it pink because I want a pink house with green shutters. Do you have shutters on your house? I'm sorry. Oh, you do. So you have green shutters with pink. Now, would that be appropriate? No, because the house doesn't belong to me. The golf clubs don't belong to me. And that's the same thing with us, our lives. Our lives don't belong to us anymore. And many times we just do what a prudent man says, hey, my life is not mine anymore. It belongs to the Lord. My body isn't mine anymore. It belongs to God. So the witness of Christ, a prudent man says, hey, I care about what Christ thinks about what I'm doing and how I'm living. And it's important because he loves me. He died for me. And the least I could do is live a life that reflects on my Savior about who he really is. So we belong to Christ. And a simple man says, no, I don't give it a thought. Doesn't care about what Christ maybe thinks. And it's such a tragedy. And there's a result to that. If we live our lives the way we want without concern about what Christ thinks about it, we're going to have consequences. We're going to be punished. And of course, God will never take our salvation away. He might chastise us. That chastisement's never lost the salvation. But again, how many here when you were growing up wanted a spanking? How many as an adult want to go to jail? The prudent man foreseeth the evil. He thinks about what's going to happen in the future. And so he hides himself from the evil, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, the question is, what is the point of this message tonight? What is the point of it? Well, it's an encouragement for each of us to live prudently. Did I say that right? Prudently. I hope that's really a word. Not to be the simple man. And for the simple reason is, it's a choice between no punishment and punishment. The prudent man who lives wisely says, I don't want punishment. I want God's best. I want God's blessing. The simple seems to not care about it. So there's four things I would encourage you to do tonight to live prudently. One is to read and obey your Bible. God directs us to say it contains warnings there not to hinder us but to help us. And we need to read and obey. See what the Bible says. God will direct us through the Bible. And we need to read it and heed its warnings. Secondly, we need to yield to the Spirit. You know, as we get in the Bible and read it, as we come to church and pay close attention, God, through the Holy Spirit, will begin to work in our hearts. It'll convict us about different things. It'll woo us. And we need to yield to the Spirit. We need to, as God woos us through the Holy Spirit, who takes the word that we've put in our hearts, our minds, and convicts us about things we need to change, things we need to do. We need to yield to the Spirit's control. The third thing we need to do is submit to authority. Whether it's your pastor, whether it's your boss, if you're a young person here, your parents. We need to submit to authority. God's put authority there to help us. A prudent man realizes that, hey, this authority, though I don't understand everything they do, and I don't think it's necessarily the best, I'm going to submit to them because then things will go well for me. And that's a great choice. And lastly, number four, we need to consider Christ. What does he think about what a prudent man, the different choices and the different things that happen in our life where there's a there's evil in front of us? And our question should be, what does Christ think about this? What does Christ think about if I go in that direction? We need to ponder our feet and head down the right path, realizing where it's going to go. And I want to please him with the direction I'm going in life. If we'll do those four things, read and obey the Bible, yield to the Spirit, submit to authority, and consider Christ, we're being prudent. And a very simple verse, repeated twice in Proverbs, the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. And I hope that's what you want to do tonight. But please don't be the simple man, because simply stated, the simple pass on and are punished. Evil or sin always has a consequence, and it's not good. So the choice is ours. Now, by the way, do we always do good with that choice? No, we're simpletons many times, aren't we? We just want to do something because we like doing it. We maybe even realize it's wrong, but, you know, hey, it's just in the moment here. But if we do that, we're being like the simple man here in Proverbs. We just pass on, and then we're going to be punished. There's going to be consequences. So I hope that your desire is to live prudently, and that'll be a big help to you. Okay.